Shocker, how you doing?
I'm good. I just want to be left out of that, please and thank you. Just...
Don't worry, buddy. I'm sure there's some fake Ryan Rashogs on Tinder right now.
Yeah. Well, they're probably not doing very well. Leave me out of it, man. I'm hunkered into my house watching House of Cards for like the next 2 days.
Oh, so all right. I know it came out today. My wife's all jacked up. I'm a pretty big fan of the show.
Oh, man.
Have you watched an episode yet?
Yeah, I've watched about three quarters of one. But you know what I'm trying to do, actually, and this is funny. I have no idea if it's going to work or not. I want it to be like my workout show. So, like, I've got Netflix set up so that I can watch it while I work out, and I want to sort of reward myself with a new House of Cards episode when I work out. But the problem is I only work out for about 7 minutes at a time.
I was just about to say. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, something tells me if you're watching the TV and doing squats, it's not going to end well.
Oh, man, I haven't done a squat since I was 19 years old. Are you kidding me?
So what does your workout consist of, running on the treadmill?
No, it's actually an elliptical. Okay. Running is not great for the back, but I've got a decent elliptical. So I do that while I watch Netflix. It's pretty pathetic.
Of course. Let's Mark Giordano. Now, they say in death. Oh, he's done. Oh. Like, how long do you think he's out?
Well, I don't know. Like, were there any updates that happened in the last 40 minutes while I was watching House of Cards? Because I didn't see any emails. I've been looking on Twitter. It's like they're wanting to make 100% certain. I've watched it, and it's no good. Like, he's trying to take slap shot, basically, and we're in the puck, and a guy gets a stick in there, and then he looks like, I mean, it could be a torn pec. It could be a hyperextended elbow. It could be anything. It could be a separated shoulder. Like, it's just a bunch of no good, but normally it takes not quite this long to at least get a sense. So I think, and I don't know if the fact that we're not getting a prognosis yet, if that is a good thing, a bad thing, I'm not sure. I don't know if maybe it's, I don't know, like if it affects negotiations they have going on for potential trades. I'm not sure if it's a strategy, but normally they don't need nearly this much time to get a word on how a guy's going to be.
Yeah, well, there's some rumors, hyperextended elbow, but I haven't seen anything official. It's all speculation at this point. Flames coach has had some, and GM, of course. I don't care who comes in. It's not replacing Mark Giordano. And you look where the Flames are. They got the New York Islanders tonight, where even if they had Giordano, they might have lost because the Islanders are a very good team. But if Giordano's out more than 2 weeks, do you think the Flames can stay in the race for 2 weeks?
Yeah, pretty tough. I mean, Mark Giordano is the heart and soul of that team, and he's the most important player on the team. And I don't know how you pull him out of the lineup and have them be able to sustain the pulse that they have right now. So I would say it's as devastating to this team as Patrick Kane's loss is to the Chicago Blackhawks, probably even more so. So I think it makes it really, really tough for them. Now, I think we've probably all learned the lesson not to necessarily count the Flames out, especially this year and this team. So you're hard-pressed to say, oh, they're done. But it definitely, if you're a bet man, you'd be in tough to bet on the Flames to make the playoffs now if Giordano's going to be out for the next little bit.
Yeah, I'll take Minnesota and L.A. over the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, Mini's
right
just
now.
Playing too good, right? Like, and L.A. is just L.A. So I think with Giordano pulling Giordano out of that lineup, They've gotten good goaltending this year, and they've got a world-class defenseman. And that's just so critical to teams. And one of those guys goes down, and you're in pretty tough.
Well, it's not just that he's a world-class defenseman. He's tied for the most points on the team, right?
Oh, yeah. Well,
plays 25 minutes a night.
Defenseman.
Yeah, like he's just that good for the Flames. And, you know, it's a tough blow for them. I'm sure some Oilers fans, you never wish – negative on your big rivals, but when it happens, you probably smile.
Yeah, I mean, sure, if Oilers fans want to take some sort of demented joy, Mark Giordano not being available as they push for the playoffs, I don't know. I think I'd have a, I mean, that's, I don't know, I haven't been a hockey fan of a team in quite a while, so I don't know if Oilers fans would be happy about that. You don't want to see. I mean, they're a hardworking team. You have to give them their due. They work their butts off, and they're a gutsy team. They come from behind. They're never out of games. You've got to respect Giordano, the way he plays and leads and the kind of player he is. So I don't know. I don't know if I'd be taking too much pleasure in that happening if I were a fan of any other team, really.
We've had a lot of people texting. Do you think suddenly Calgary would be interested in Jeff Petrie?
Yeah, suddenly they would be. I don't know. I don't know if, like they need to figure out how long he's out for and if it's going to be a while. They're going to be hard-pressed to give up a second-round pick or more without Giordano. I mean, they weren't sure if they wanted to give up much with Giordano in the lineup and the chances that he gave them of making the playoffs, right? They weren't sure before that it was worth it this year. Well, now there's even less of a guarantee that they make it. So now you're giving something up without even the guarantee of making it. Before, if you've got Giordano and you're relatively healthy and you add something, now you've improved your chances of making it, and it sort of makes that risk worthwhile because there's a good chance that they're in. Well, now it's even less of a chance. So I don't know, man. I like I've said before, Trail Evings playing with house money. They were not supposed to be in the playoff race. They were not supposed to make the playoffs this year. No matter what they do from now to the end of the season, this year was a success for the Calgary Flames. I can't see them mortgaging too much of their future.
I would probably agree with you on that for sure, especially with Giordano out. And that's why I had responded earlier and said, no, I don't think so. I was just curious what you thought about it. The Oilers taking on the St. Louis Blues tomorrow night, a team that, you know, we saw what happened last time. You know, the Blues had many guys on Pouliot, and he was kind of a freedom fighter. David Backes has ran the show of the Oilers this year and last year. It definitely tries to get in guys' grills and intimidate them. Todd Nelson was asked about it yesterday and said, you know, as a coach, I don't think I have to say something. You know, the Oilers just don't have a lot of guys who, you know, Backes would fight a few, and I'm sure Hendricks would fight him, and, you know, Gazdik obviously would fight him, but, you know, he's not going to fight Luke Gazdik. Like, do you think the Oilers need to – some games, like, I look at the game within the game, Ryan, where it's like, hey, they might lose the game, but they can't let David Backes just run the show.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's hard, though. I mean, when you're Jordan Eberle or you're Brian Nugent-Hopkins or Taylor Hall or Neil Yakupov or any one of these guys, I mean, he outweighs him by 30 pounds, and he's a big, bruising guy that has shown in the past he doesn't mind punching people in the face. Now, he picks his spots for sure. But it's hard for if you're these guys to stand in there, and you can't match them physically. Like, you're not going to be able to. So how do you do it? Well, you got to swarm them. And after the whistles, when stuff like that happens, when garbage breaks out, they should have been all in and had each other's backs and been all in on it. And they made a mistake, and I think I'm sure it would have been addressed within the group that they can't have that happen. And I think they're trying to do a better job of it now. I mean, even Jordan Eberle kind of getting in there the other day a little bit when can't remember exactly what happened, but he stepped in and just sort of started a little bit of a ruckus when one of the other guys threw a big hit on a teammate. I see them trying, Jason, but I mean, there's only going to be so much they can do. I think what needs to happen is that Luke Gazdik needs to go out, and Matt Hendricks needs to go out, and they need to make life miserable for the other team's skill players. And it needs to be something where it's shots being fired in both directions. And they have to be factors that way physically. And Ryan Reeves will show up, and he'll want to fight Luke Gazdik, and Steve Ott will show up and want to fight Matt Hendricks. And maybe those fights will happen. Who knows? But the point is, it can't be one-sided. Both teams have to be taking shots and firing shots that way. And it needs to be not an easy, comfortable night for the Blues. And Gazdik and Hendricks, you know, whether it's Clint Cameron or whoever, they need to apply themselves physically and not just give them a pass.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joining us in the Rashog Report. We're now less than, we're basically just around 70 hours from the trade deadline. Antoine Vermette's name seems to be one that's out there. Chicago supposedly hot in pursuit of him. As you talk to more people, do you expect anyone other than Jeff Petrie to be moved from Edmonton?
No, I don't think so. I really get the feeling that it might be Petrie, and that's just about it. And I know it'll probably feel a little disappointing for Oilers fans because they want something to happen or some way to improve the team or something more significant than that. But really, I think their intentions are pretty clear with Derek Roy. I think they're going to just hang on to him and let him play with Yakupov the rest of the season and see what happens in the offseason. you know, Petrie's the unrestricted guy on the back end. That, you know, I think there's a I think we all know he's going to get moved. I mean, even Keith Ollie's an RFA at the end of the year, right? So, I mean, it's not like they lose him for nothing. He's a restricted free agent, so they can make a call on him after the fact either way. So, yeah, I think it's going to be anticlimactic for Oilers fans, but I don't believe Craig McTavish is shopping too hard for the hockey deal right now. I think those are deals he wants to make in the offseason. I really believe they want to pick in the top three. And any deals that may be there now, I think they probably believe they would be there in the offseason too. And I just don't see them doing anything that puts a top three pick at any more risk than it already is.
Well, it's going to be a heck of a race, man. Arizona, do you think Edmonton will lose out to Arizona and ultimately finish 28th or higher?
Yeah, good question. I mean, Arizona's a tough one because they're not a great team, and I mean, they've got one win in their last 10 games. Like, come on. You know, I think they've lost, what, have they lost 8 in a row or something ridiculous like that? Like, it's no good, and they're going to get worse too, right? I mean, the Oilers will get worse after they move Petrie, but Arizona's got their own guys to move. There's only one point separating the two of them, so yeah. I mean, if you were to say pick a spot right now that the Oilers finish, I'd say 28th right now is where they finish, and they get a real outside shot at their name coming up in the lottery, but it's a real outside shot, and they end up picking third, which I think they'd still be okay picking third. I mean, there's a heck of a good player that's available in that number three spot. Obviously, they'd like one of the top two, but I don't know that they're going to be able to be worse than Arizona. So I see it going Buffalo, Arizona, Edmonton is the likely order of it to me.
Finishing, but
don't hang on.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that someone's going to win the lottery. Like, Buffalo only has 20% chance of winning it, right? Like, that's what – this year the odds have changed so much, and I know the number 29 slot's the hot one, right? Like, that's – if you're not going to finish 30, if you want to finish 29, just if you're a believer in you know, rolling out a streak because they've you know, that one's won the last three. Others will say, well, it's won the last three. It's not going to win this time, which I totally understand because the odds are lower now. Even at the number 29 position. But that's sadly going to be the highlight of the year again for Oilers fans is watching the lottery.
I know. It's another year of that for Oilers fans and McTavish, and it's no good. And we honestly, it's crazy. We've been talking about this since the beginning of November. I mean.
Yeah, which is disappointing.
Oh, for people who, you know, who pay their money and show up and try and be loyal and do the best they can, this has been a long stretch of futility, and it's been painful. I mean, goodness, it's painful for us to even cover it, let alone, you know, we don't really have much of a vested interest in it, but it's painful to cover. I can't imagine forking over a bunch of money to go watch it.
I have season tickets, I don't even use them. So yeah, trust me. I've admitted this is the first time that I'm seriously contemplating not renewing them.
Yeah, and you're not the first one.
You have
to
clients
say that,
like, who are like, they're like, oh, thanks, I don't want them. Right? Yeah. Like, so it shows me there's not much value to it, right?
Yeah,
now.
But this is the thing, right? Like, I believe that management's mandate is to be better by the time they're in the new building. I mean, ideally, it would be the season before because that's when all the renewals and the prices and all that kind of stuff is going to be set. But I think they need to be better by the time they're in the new building. Okay. If they are not an improved team by the time they're in that new building, and that new building has a bunch of empty seats and indifference towards the team. So when the novelty wears off 20, 30 games in, whatever it's going to be, and the hockey's still garbage and the product isn't better, then that's when I think Daryl Cates suddenly wakes up and realizes, holy smokes. That's where the business model crashes into the hockey model and the friendships and all that go out the window. I believe that's the threshold. People wonder if it will ever happen with Cates. I believe that's the threshold when his new vision is realized, he's got the new building and the hockey product isn't any better. If that happens, then I could see that being the point where everything changes for Cates and for Kevin and Greg and everybody involved. It needs to be better by the time they're in that building. And I think that's probably what's coming down from the hill.
Yeah, I guess the concern about that, and it's a great theory, but the fact is, from the time McTavish took the team over in coming up on 2 years, they were 24th against an all-Western-based schedule.
Yeah.
And since then, they've been 28th and currently now 29th with seemingly still the exact same holes.
Oh yeah, and that's it's pretty obvious, right? And we've been harping on it for a long time. Now, let me ask you this: let's say the Oilers do manage to land a legitimate top pairing defenseman. Let's just say that Craig manages to do that, and they get a goaltender in that does a pretty decent job. So now they've got a legit top pairing defenseman and a goaltender. You look at the group of forwards they have, plus whatever they add in this draft. The Gordon line is kind of their anchor line, that fourth line. Some improved play from Klefbom. I mean, I know they're two of the hardest things to get, a good goaltender and a top pairing defenseman. But and they've remained holes for a reason, because they're difficult to fill. But you could see it turning, not super quick, but you add the right couple of pieces somehow, and I don't know how. You're going to have to pull rabbits out of somewhere.
Yeah, but if you add
critical pieces that really will help a lot to fix things.
Okay, so let's say, they, argument's sake, they get a top pairing defenseman. In order to do that, they're going to have to create two other holes in the lineup to do that.
Unless they can do it through free agency.
Well, right? So Johnny Boychuk, you're saying? Because Boychuk, is there a top pairing defenseman in free agency?
Not really, no. I would say he's probably the lead dog. And they can't put all their eggs in that basket. They can't. But my point is that as bad as it is, and it's bad, the reason it's bad is because they haven't had the goaltending and they haven't had the quality of defense that they need. They've got number four, number five, number six, number seven defensemen. You know, they've probably even got guys that are turning into threes here in the next season or two, right? And some good young guys coming. They're thin on the number one, the number two, and the starting goalie, right? They're the toughest things to get, but that's what this team is lacking. If they had a legitimate top-pairing defenseman and a decent goaltender and were still garbage, you'd be going, holy smokes, there's no hope. But it's pretty obvious what they need. They need to figure out how to go find it over the next season or two. And if they do that, they have a chance to at least be in the fight. It's so obvious what they need, but good luck going out and getting it. That's the challenge.
Yeah, well, it's been obvious what they've needed for 4 years, and it hasn't improved. That's my concern. So until I see actual improvement, it's the same thing. And you know what? If we can all see it, clearly it's hard to do it, but they haven't done it. They keep changing around the bottom six and rotating in the bottom six and all this and that, and it's the same thing. And they haven't improved. There's been no improvement. There's actually been a decline in the standings the last 2 years.
I don't disagree and argue with any of that, but I think you and I both know what they need. I think Craig has figured out what he needs. I think anybody that follows his team knows what they need. How good will they be if they go and get what they need? I mean, that's kind of the question I'm posing. How far away are they once they get a legitimate starting goaltender and at least one top pairing defenseman? Well, now they're probably a couple pieces away from at least being in the fight and being considered a decent enough team to at least fight for the playoffs, right? It's just a matter of going and getting those guys. And Craig hasn't been able to do it yet. Tambellini wasn't able to do it. They're the hardest things to go get. He had a starting goalie that slipped through his fingers. I don't think he'll let that happen again. But, I mean, if it's Johnny Boychuk at $6.25 million, which is way too much to pay him, but that's what someone will probably end up paying him, and then they've managed to find a goalie somehow, they will be closer once they fix that. You cannot overstate what a lack of top-end goaltending and top-quality defensemen mean to a team. Just look at the Calgary Flames.
I totally understand what it means.
Just look at the Flames. Like, that's just it right there. A world-class defenseman and solid goaltending. Look at the Nashville Predators, right? All these years, world-class goaltending and a solid world-class defense pairing, and they're in the fight, regardless of what else they have on their team. And now they've added some legit stuff to the rest of the pieces, and now they're one of the best teams in the league, if not the best team in the league. So it's building from that back out, that goaltender, that world-class defense pairing, and off you go.
Shocker, have a good weekend.
Okay, buddy. Enjoy all the action.